welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm That Nikki You Know, and today's guest is Ali Marguerite.
All right, here's a little song I wrote called Blue. To do. Oh, darling, please make it hurt so bad. You know how I love to cry. Darling, tell me all of your sweet lies. You're a habit I can't deny. To do. Bring me out so tight that I can't breathe. Then hang me up to dry. You promise me the moon and stars, but the night sky. Watch me walk home alone tonight. So bad, you know how I love to cry. You promised me the moon and stars, but the night sky. Watch me walk home tonight, 'cause I'm blue, you know that I'm blue, and I get the feeling that you are too. Hey, you, then I found out that she did too. What's a fool like me to do? Oh, I'm blue, you know that I'm blue. And I get the feeling that you are too. Had you, then I found out that she did too. What's a fool like me to do?
That song, tell me about it.
So that song's called Blue, and it's from the album that I released with my band Old Time Honey at the end of 2018. And that album's called Love Songs for Sick People, and it's like kind of a concept album about a mentally ill person falling in love and what that can be like. And so yeah, that song's kind of like the little heartbreak moment near mm-hmm. the beginning, before the anger sets in.
Which there's, you know, so many mental illnesses to choose from. Was there like one particular one in mind, or just like a whole bunch?
I mean, yeah, I've personally suffered with depression and bipolar disorder like my whole life. So yeah, kind of that.
You yeah, know? You're and then, definitely not alone in the music industry. That's no, like sure. a lot of us.
No, for sure. And then like a song I'm going to play soon probably on piano is called PTSD, which is something I went through as well. And like, yeah, I just wanted to write about all of it. And that kind of honestly healed me in ways I didn't know it could. And now I'm like doing okay and still singing these weird songs, but it's cool.
How do you find it changes when you play a song so many times that like was such an important part of your healing process? And how does that change over time for you?
I mean, I guess now I kind of feel like, this sounds cheesy, but I kind of feel like I'm singing them to help other people heal with those things. So It's kind of fun. Like, the PTSD song used to be really emotional to sing, and now I just have a fun time with it. That sounds weird, but I don't know. It feels chaotic, and it... I don't know. It's like, even if those were dark moments in life, it's still kind of fun to celebrate them, you know, and be like...
It's a part of your story.
Happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and like, you don't want to... I mean, I think part of dealing with PTSD means there's sort of like your memory, either you remember things more than you want to or not at all. And it's a memory itself is kind of like a difficult thing with that experience. But to own your story and to go back and be able to say like, yeah, that happened. And this is how I choose to remember it and how I'm going to like present it going forward.
No, for sure. And like up until that album, I'd mostly tried to write really happy songs to like, because I was a busker, right? So I was always trying to make people happy in the metro. Mm-hmm. But I had all this like darkness and all this stuff inside me, and it kind of all came out in that one album.
How comfortable were you writing like just happy songs? Like if you were like not feeling it, but you're like, you know what? Gotta write some happy songs. Like, do you think they were really all that happy?
I don't know. Like the lyrics weren't. Now that I look back, like the chord progressions were like ragtimey and fun, and like the lyrics were like, whoa.
Well, like, yeah, even like Blue is very like, you know, like I would say more like jazzy, but but it's a very like fun chord progression.
Yeah, exactly. Juxtaposition. What up?
Yeah, I love it when artists do that. I think one of my favorite artists who does that is Lily Allen.
Yeah.
She does like these fun dance numbers that are hilarious and wonderful, but like about really difficult things a lot of the time.
Oh, for sure. And like, I don't know, why not make those difficult things more accessible? I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The more people are like, oh, someone's not afraid to talk about that in a fun way.
Like, well, yeah. Like, I mean, like if you Google like depression, like, you know, Google image search, it's like all these people with like their heads in their hands. You know, they're looking at the floor. Everything is blue. Like it's just, there's like a very unified story of and like picture of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's not universally true because it like mental illness and like depending on what it is you're experiencing and the circumstances around that, there's so many ways that it can come about and ways that it can look. And I think a lot of people feel like really weird about it because their story and their experiences don't necessarily line up with that like very like one story that we hear.
No, for sure. And that's it. Like, I think a lot of people feel like maybe they're not depressed enough to like talk about it or like,
totally.
And it's just not true. Like there's two sides to it always. And like depression comes in cycles, you know, and you're not always the sad guy with your hands in your head. Like sometimes you're happy and everything's great and you're super functional. And other times it's the exact opposite. And like, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not someone that suffers from mental illness just because you're in this like upswing all of a sudden, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also like being able, like being really high functioning or having been in circumstances where like you weren't safe enough to be able to show mm-hmm. how you're feeling. And so like, you know, many people have come up with all these really like convincing ways to prove to people that they're not actually struggling when in fact they very much are.
No, I felt like that's what I was doing in the metro. It almost felt like it was my job to like uplift society for some reason. Like I just wanted to cheer everybody up.
And oh, that's a huge weight to put on your shoulders.
No, I know. And I never asked myself like why I felt that at all. And then eventually I quit drinking and I was like, whoa, what am I doing? Like, I'm not happy. Why am I trying to do this for other people? Fuck y'all. No, just kidding. Sorry.
It's okay. You can swear.
Just kidding. Love ya all.
I mean, you've done a lot of busking on the subway. How long, like if you were to think of like the sum total of all of your busking experience, like how many years, like what, how, damn. How often, like,
I mean, so like I started honestly when I was a teenager with my brother back in Regina, Saskatchewan.
What?
Playing Sublime in front of the liquor store when we were like 15 and 16 or something. And then I didn't do it for a while, but I think around when, yeah, I came to Montreal, I was in university, did not go well because I was not doing so well, and dropped out when I was about 25, I think, and that's mm-hmm. when I started, so that would have been like 2011 maybe, mm-hmm. and I did full-time metro busking for a couple years there, first with my friend Julie Perron, and then eventually, yeah, I ended up kind of forming the project I have now with an ex-boyfriend. And another friend. But yeah, like all together, because now I don't do it that much now. probably like 4 or 5 solid years there.
Wow.
If it's like all put together.
Yeah.
And like for a while there was something called the Stars of the Metro in Montreal. So it was pretty slick. Like,
oh, is that not happening anymore?
No, it totally fell apart.
Oh no, I missed it.
I heard it got really corrupt. Like someone was like taking all the money and the guy that was the president was like taking
what
all the
money?
Good spots. Because it was cool. Like the idea was cool. Like, you know, you do one audition and then all of a sudden you can book your spots on a website. You know, you don't have to worry about hanging out at 5 a.m. in the metro station, which is really convenient. And then it was the best spots too. Like it was like Place des Arts, Barry, Jean Talon. Like there was some really good spots.
Yeah, like, it was just a free for all again.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is kind of more to the busker spirit anyways, you know?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Though like I do wish that you could just like book online. That would be really great.
So nice. Well, you still can if you want to get your outdoor permit.
Okay.
And you want to play in the Old Port. That's all online.
Oh, nice.
And the Old Port is nice. That's like, I would never do the metros in the summer. Like, they would be like, you have to do a certain amount of hours to be a star of the metro. But like, as soon as it's nice out, like, why do you want to go down in the metro, you know?
Yeah, the Old Port sounds much nicer in the summer to busk in.
No, it's so much nicer. Except for you, in the Old Port, you definitely have to deal with a lot of like drunk Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else is lovely, but the drunk Americans are... I want to say like embarrassing.
They don't get real beer in the States. So like, like to be fair, they probably have no idea how drunk they're getting. They're had like 4 beer. That shouldn't do anything. But you know, Canada is better.
It is. Agreed. Much agreed. My favorite like outdoor busking thing, that I did for a few years was with my friend Esmeralda, who doesn't live in Montreal anymore, but she's a circus performer, and she actually incorporated the company Cirque Antique, which I work with a lot. Mm. Yeah, she had her fire permit for spinning on the street.
Oh,
so
cool.
Basically, we would set up a rope, and the rope had to be like, I think we needed 10 feet around us at all times for it to be safe or whatever, but yeah.
That's
fire
so cool.
And music at night in the village, best time ever. You
that
know?
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you do that very much?
We did, but it would have been like probably more like 2015, 2016, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It was fun. I liked it. Oh, and because she had her fire permit, we could have, like, I lived with her, we could have a fire in our backyard.
Nice.
I know.
That awesome. Is so ideal.
I know.
No finding deserted corners of Mount Royal.
Exactly. No barrels under that water bridge.
Did you ever learn how to do any like fire poi or anything?
No, I'm not very coordinated. I always enjoyed dance and stuff like that, but I just do not trust myself with fire.
If you could be a circus, like if you had a circus act,
yeah,
what would you choose to do?
I mean, I would love, if I was coordinated enough and all that.
Assuming that it would just go swimmingly and you'd be able to do it.
Aerial silks then. I love aerial silks.
Yeah. Like,
that's one of the first
so good.
Things I saw in Montreal was like, I went to go see a show in a loft. It was so Montreal, you know, and then all of a sudden there was an aerial silks artist. And I was like, what?
Of course.
Fuck? Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, I'm never leaving this city.
Exactly. Exactly. It was so cool. But no, it's just, it's so elegant. And I like the way the material kind of flows like water. And
It's absolutely beautiful. It's just like dancing, but like another dimension.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So great.
Yeah. But I don't know, like a lot of, because I've worked with a lot of circus stuff now, and like it turns out they're not as safe as you think it would be. Like there are just a lot of accidents, like even if people are really good and really careful. Like it's just it's a dangerous world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're really pushing the limits of their bodies and like whatever sort of technological aids they're using.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty wild. And then the women that I know that do circus, that train every day, you know, and it's like at least 4 or 5 hours every day. Like it's just so much, but they're so impressive. It's amazing.
Yeah. You can't really just like casually do circus. You can't like, cause even juggling, I remember when I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to juggle.
Yeah.
Like, finally, like, because I think I went through this phase of, like, just deciding to, like, learn things that I, like, these skills that I always thought were really cool but, like, could never do, like, biking with no hands and, like.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I did that. Cool. And then I was like, I got this. I'm going to learn how to juggle next.
Amazing.
And it took so long. Like, there was just so much of, like, two balls. And then, like, any time that I tried three, like, it took, like, a month of, like, diligently hours of like, trying to do this.
Yeah, no,
until finally I was like, oh, my God, I did it once.
It's wild. No, it's just wild. But I don't know. You see the level that some people get to, and you're like, I guess it is possible, but how the fuck?
Yeah, like, when I think of how much effort it took me to juggle. And, like, I can juggle with three balls now. That's, like, hey. I can do that. Yeah, I can do it. Golf. But, like, oh, my God. Then you have, like, all these, like, bowling pins and, yeah. And you know, got, like, five of them. They're on fire. And, like,
I know,
sometimes knives.
On fire.
I don't know.
It's crazy. And the knives. I know. Chaos.
Like, when did these people start doing this? Like, it's so much work.
Well, and then what I've seen, too, is a lot of the circus people I know end up, like, in a couple with another circus person. And then they have circus babies.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
babies are, like, doing circus. Like, it's crazy.
I think part of me wants to be, like, a circus mom. Like, I just feel right? like that would be really great so that I could, like, do circus things with my kids. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That's
no,
just great.
Now, there's another circus company that we recently did. Just a little, like, they often hire us just to do some music for whatever event it is. But yeah, they're called Cirque or Piste. And mm-hmm. I think it's more like circus for, like, street kids and stuff like that. Like, they'll teach anyone, and it's, like, funded. And they're just, like, a lovely organization. So
yeah,
that's really cool. And, like, it's also fun because they do, like, a beginner stage. And everyone's just so supportive of each other. And I don't know. It's really lovely.
Maybe I'll have to go sometime.
Yeah.
Indulge the circus freak in me.
Pissed. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, they're super lovely. Super nice. Not too intimidating, I guess.
Yeah.
Take these pills, they'll put you about a foot or two behind your own. Not the shakes, it's just a dance that you forgot you learned. Spin and turn, it's a loaded gun and it's pointed right at your head. Bang, bang, you're dead. Oh, can you taste the lead? And you, your own head. Believe no promise.
I know you were uncomfortable about doing another waltz, but I think that that was fantastic, and I'm really glad you did it.
More waltzes. Yes.
Was that off the same album?
Yes.
And, okay, I'm curious, because you're switching between instruments. How many instruments do you play? Because, like, you've played a lot of instruments in general,
yeah,
from when I've known you.
Yeah, I grew up playing piano. Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing classical piano since I was about 4. And then when I was around, like, I ended up doing clarinet as well. And then I got into drums about age 11 or 12. I, like, made my own drum kit out of pots and pans in the kitchen.
Yes.
And my dad was like, okay, we'll get you a drum kit. So then I, like, started my first band by the time I was 13.
Whoa.
So I was, like, drumming.
What was your band name? What was your band name?
Okay, the first band was called The Fisticuffs.
Yes.
And I was playing drums, and there was this girl named CJ who kind of sounded exactly like Brody from The Distillers.
Okay.
And
cool.
We weren't that good, but we thought we were. And then after that, I had a band with my brother, which was more like post-hardcore, and mm-hmm. that was called Orion.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And I don't know. I also was in a band called The Bad Guys. And yeah, that was all back in Saskatchewan.
Those are
There's
great
like a
names.
Big hardcore and punk scene there, so... Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was all drums. But I wrote all the songs too, because I'm a guitar player too. So I would write all the instrumentals. My brother would write the vocals. So yeah, that, and I guess I play accordion. I play
the omnichord.
I brought my omnichord. What else? There's a few things. Mandolin I played for years in like some Celtic rock bands and yeah. like a few different things. Obviously banjo.
Which I also, I'm just going to recap that you have a microphone inside of your banjo. It's not a pickup, it's a microphone, and
with
it's fantastic.
Electrical tape holding it all together. Tape
punk rock.
Yes, exactly. I'm trying to remember what else. Oh, right now? Okay, so I like got super into coding and tech stuff in the last few years, so I'm building myself a little distance sensor theremin.
But I'm
yeah, but it's going to be a little robot. So like when the notes get high, he's going to make like a face like, ah. And then what else? I'm also going to have it. So I want there to be like an octave as well. So like it can be like really light and theremin soundy, or I'll program it so it can hit certain scales. Like I'll have like major scale, minor scale, blues scale, or just free for all like theremin style. And what was the other thing I wanted it to do? Oh, yeah, I want to do an octave pedal on it so it can be, like, a heavy theremin all of a sudden, you know, like...
Yes.
Bam, bam, like, yeah. That's the new thing I want to work on is my robot bandmate.
Yes.
And
I love it.
Definitely getting less weird. No.
Yeah, I'm also kind of, like, semi-working on like, a robot-inspired band project.
Yes.
It's still very much in its infancy, but...
Tell me more.
I've been... Well, in the summer, I started collaborating with a musician, and his name is Kevin. He's very great.
Kevin Hawkwind?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's such a good instrumentalist. I think I was teaching when he went to Recording Arts Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've known Kevin for a while. Kevin's an amazing musician and songwriter.
Yeah, what I loved about Kevin was I would just, like, show up with my songs and just, like, you know, play them on guitar, and then he'd just, like, pick out these various, like, he had like different drum machines, like analog drum machines,
yes.
and like then also was really just like a whiz with all of his computer stuff, and then within like before I finished the song he'd have like a whole arrangement of like we sounded kind of Gorillaz-esque.
Oh, amazing.
And, yeah,
that's so cool.
So we did like a full set, and we played at the Diving Bell for, do you know Lily? Something lighter on like Instagram. She's an amazing artist.
That's cool.
Definitely look her up.
I kind of suck at Instagram. I'm trying to get better.
It's okay. It's Instagram. It's great and it's hard and it's fun.
I just like, I don't really know how to use it. Like I share my own stuff and then I put stories up all the time, but I don't know how to like find the things I like or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like I see my friend's stuff and that's cool, but I should probably like be able to see things I don't know about.
I think hashtags.
Oh,
I think
that's what those are for, eh?
Yeah.
Those things I'm always adding on the ends of things. No, I love coding and I love technology, but I hate like, I don't use things very well, like these tools that exist.
Well, I mean, when you're doing so
Instagram?
Many things, right? Like, Instagram takes a backseat because, like, why? But, you know, because you're doing so many other things. You're in, like, how many bands are you in right now?
Oh, not much. I mean, I mostly just do my stuff now and, like, I guess, yeah, I still play with Sam Kruger here and there when he wants to do a bigger set. I'm doing some piano with the Arnold Sisters sometimes.
Okay.
I'm actually going to record their full album. We're going to do a live off the floor recording.
Right.
Yeah, I like have another exciting thing, a band I might be in, but it's not for sure yet, so I don't want to say.
Fair enough.
But it'll be some keyboards for someone that I really
nice.
Like. Yeah.
And then aside from that, you're doing all the coding and stuff, like, because you did a coding boot camp, like, what, a year or two ago?
Yeah, it would have been almost 2 years ago. I did like an 8-week coding boot camp, which I kind of thought would just be like, I'm going to do like freelance things on the side and stuff like that. But yeah, then I just started getting so into it. And then I was like,
it's kind of addictive. Like, yeah, exactly. I used to code a lot in high school. I like taught myself HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah,
you can spend entire days just like fixing minute details or look, I made this div movable and see through.
No,
like,
exactly.
Why?
No, it's so exciting. No, I'm getting super good at JavaScript. So I'm starting to learn some other languages now. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing like a algorithms course. There's all these free courses, like this one's from Princeton and it's free.
Cool.
Like Introduction to Algorithms. Yeah. No, I'm just like loving the mathematical side of it, because I've always loved math. I didn't do good in university because I don't do good in spaces with lots of people in general.
Yeah, environmental factors are huge.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was like, I can't hear anything, and I was just like, yeah, freaking out, and I eventually stopped going.
You know.
Spiraled quickly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm a street musician. Anyway.
Street musician turned like coding goddess.
Yes.
You're launching new things. Woo. This week. It's an exciting time.
It is
That's
exciting.
Really awesome.
Yeah. I like really love the people I'm working with too, which is really cool. Like I was really worried about coming out of like just working in only arts and like loving all the artists and being like, these are my people. And I was like, what's it going to be like to work with tech people, you know? Turns out awesome. They're all really great. I'm sure not everyone that works in tech is great, but like, I don't know. No one's got weird egos. Like, it's all just like everyone's really helping each other. Everyone's helping me learn so much. Like,
nice.
Yeah, it's been really great so far.
How is it being a woman in tech?
Another thing, of course, I worried about, because like as a sound woman, I had a really rough go. I really did. Like, especially I used to work at Cafe Chaos before it closed, and the older punk dudes were fucking dicks. I swear to God, it really disappointed me and broke my heart. Hey, sweetheart, you sure you know what you're doing? Ugh. Fuck you, man. Anyway.
I feel like I dealt with
getting
that
grabbed,
so
getting
much.
Touched. Yeah, it's just like, I was like, oh, man. But that's it. Like, I enjoy work that's in male-dominated fields, and I always have. And yeah, I was worried about it with tech for sure. But so far, it's been absolutely fine.
Nice.
Well, like, this is the first team I'm in, and we're only like, you know, 5 or 6, so... Who knows about the rest? But these guys are great. I really, really like them.
What's the most intimidating language for you?
C#, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but that's actually what Pro Tools is written in, and most of the audio plugins. So that's why that's like my goal eventually, you know?
Eventually create your own plugins.
That's yeah. No, for real. That's a goal of mine. I think it would be cool.
That and a robot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, I'm like, I just started, this is so cool. Sorry. Just so excited. I started working with AR. Like, I kind of started building my first augmented reality app.
Oh, my God.
I know. And so one thing I'm working on now, like, I managed to get, like, a 3D object that I can move around the room by touching it and moving it to different planes, and it, like, will change size and correspond to...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but what I want to work on is called portals. So it's, like, you see a doorway in front of you, and you walk in, then all of a sudden you're in this, like, 3D photo or video of a space. So, yeah, I really want to incorporate 3D sound into that, because people haven't done that yet, you know? And it's, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
binaural in recording, when you do the dummy head with the two microphones, my idea is to like go and record with that whatever ambient sounds you want for that space, because it's hard to like match it up with the direction the user is pointing in. Like, that's more video game logic, which I'm not super familiar with yet. But just to have like a 3D surround ambient sound to the thing you're looking at, I think will add a lot. And it doesn't happen yet. So I don't know. It's just exciting. There's just so many possibilities, and it's so creative.
Yeah, right now is a really cool time in tech. Like, I was attempting to become a PhD candidate for like working with VR.
Cool.
And yeah. So like, I have no experience in this, but it was like psychology related. And
very cool.
And when just preparing for that, I looked at so many different like applications that are currently being used for VR, and just it's insane. Like pain management and like all sorts of like mental illnesses actually are being helped through VR.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess you could do like really safe forms of exposure therapy and stuff. Hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And also using like psychedelics in combination with VR, because you're like being taken away to another place. So you're transported. So then your pain management is like all taken care of.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Cool stuff with VR.
Definitely. No, definitely. I actually if I ever put on a VR headset, I freak out. It's so crazy. Like, I've only done it once. I'm like, oh God.
I'm really kind of dying to go to, there's like a VR, kiosk arcade. It's like the kind of the saddest looking thing at Atwater, the mall that's like
the Alexis
in
Nihon?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I live right by there. I didn't know about that.
There's like a little like area. It's not a kiosk. It's like an actual place, but it's just like white walls and like people with their VR like headsets.
Looking dumb. Awesome. Yeah,
looking dumb. But they have like little partitions. They have like partitions up, so like you can kind of just hide, but like it looks really unimpressive from the outside. But I'm just like so curious about what it's like.
No, and that's it. Like, it is amazing when you're in the VR headset. From the outside, you look a little funny though. I love it. Especially if you're new at it, like me, and your mouth's probably gaping open, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, because they use so many different ways to like trick your brain into like really feeling like you're rooted in that space.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's very manipulative.
Super manipulative. Yeah. We're so much closer to being in the Matrix. You don't even know.
I know. It always reminds me of, it's kind of dark. It reminds me of part of the Margaret Atwood book. I don't remember which one it is. It's in the Oryx and Craig trilogy.
Okay. I definitely read one, like, I guess the first one.
Yeah. No, it's really dark. It's like she has, like people are getting just so addicted to a more intense experience that people are using VR to like murder people. That's like what they're doing is like weird fantasy murders. And
yeah.
It's like really dark. And I was like, yeah, that definitely is probably already happening.
I'm trying to remember which like sci-fi movie involved like a lot of that, but there was, you know, like you go and it's like VR porn.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like pretty much that is that's the first frontier really of like advancement in VR.
No, of course. Yeah.
You actually can go
industry.
There actually are like VR porn like lounges.
Wild.
Yeah.
Ew, I don't want to see someone doing that.
Yeah.
So I was just picturing it.
I mean, like, I'm pretty sure they're like very, you know, they have
again,
a lot of privacy
barriers. Yeah.
But it turns out that there's actually a lot of people who are using that as like sort of teaching themselves how to have sex, which if that is the case, there needs to be like, it needs to not just be like pornographic.
No, of course.
Like it needs to be
the majority
like,
of porn is not representative of what women want generally.
Yeah.
So that would be sad if that's true.
But if they were to create like a really cool like VR experience where you can have like a realistic woman.
No,
and,
for
like,
sure. Something realistic that's safe. No, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Teach people.
Yeah. Teach. Take some of the mystery out of it. Like
And I think like there's just people who have a lot of anxiety about it, and they you know, they don't want to mess up, and they want it to be good, and that's like really great, and you want
someone
to support that.
But I got they but I got a nut.
Oh my God, I love that video. Am I pregnant? Pregnant. For those of you who don't know, this is a video. You can find it on the internet. I don't even know what it's called, but it's...
I don't even know either.
I mean, it's just
it's
a bunch
some
of
guy
like
reading off people misspelling the word pregnant.
Yeah, and like pregnant. They're all like Yahoo pregnant. Like questions.
Yeah. It's amazing.
As I pregnant, like it's just ridiculous and fantastic.
I'm gonna watch that when I get home. Smoke a joint, watch my favorite YouTube video.
Oh, the internet. It's given us so much.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. Yeah.
I almost don't mind that it means that I don't get money most of the time.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. I don't know anyone that's making money anymore. Where's it gone?
I don't.
It's gone.
I think that we might actually be in a like post-professional musician era.
No,
where
I
like
know.
People
it's
just
terrifying.
Are just musicians because they love doing it.
No, I know. And that's what's so sad is like, a lot of the musicians I know that have been doing it for like, say, 20 years now, it's the first time that they're like, wow, this is no longer like a sustainable lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They've been living this way for a long time, and now it's like, no, I can't afford to even like... Yeah, no, it's really scary. It's really scary. I talk a lot about this with Gurn, who's the bartender at Grumpy's, mm-hmm. famous Gurn. Love Gurn so much. But yeah, we talk about this a lot, and we think, well, he thinks, I'm like, we think, Gurn thinks, and I agree, that probably what needs to happen is like a giant lawsuit against Spotify, like on the behalf of artists, just to pay more royalties, you know, and that could be country specific, but... I don't know what else could happen, you know, like,
I think that's
even
a good
for
start.
Me, like, no, for sure. But for me, like, even in the last 5 years, like, cause I used to sell a ton of CDs, like that was a big chunk of money on tour. That was a big chunk of busking was selling CDs. And like now busking, people don't have cash anymore.
Yeah.
People don't have cash like they used to. Like, I feel really bad for panhandlers and buskers. I never even have cash. Like, it's rare that I have cash on me. I just don't think people have it that much anymore.
Yeah.
And I think there's even some countries that have gone completely paperless at this point, maybe Estonia or something. But yeah, I mean, it's probably going to happen. And then it's like, what happens to the people that need that as a resource? Because it's like, you know, you could maybe get like a Tap Square or whatever, but you need a bank account for that. There's just like, that makes me really sad. Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot. Yeah.
I'm just hoping that, you know, capitalism collapses and we just, realize that we need to take care of each other.
No, of course. I mean, that's what the other thing I constantly rant about late at night is, like, I do believe there absolutely needs to be a basic income in Canada.
Absolutely.
Because we're automating so many of the minimum wage jobs right now. And it's like, all you're doing is, you know, telling people that make minimum wage that they are about to be homeless, you know, and it's like, that is so fucked up. Cause yeah, it's cool to automate jobs in a way. Like, it is cool. There's going to be less errors, like all this stuff, but then you need to fucking support people.
Yeah.
You can't just take away half the jobs that, like, you know, that people under a certain income level do and then expect things to be okay. Like, it's not going to be okay. Like, we need basic income. And from what I've read, like, it would actually, in the long run, benefit the entire country. Like, it means people are in jail less. There's, like, just so many, yeah.
Well, and even, like, the pilot project that they had in Ontario was going so well.
What happened?
So people had, like, they really selected, you know, who was going to receive this. It was really need-based and, like, circumstantial.
Yeah.
And they weren't given, like... a huge amount of money, but like they were given enough that they can like buy shoes if they need it, you know, buy the food that will actually make them feel like healthy.
Yeah, healthy food. Exactly. And which just, is more expensive than junk food. I know. Sadly, so
it's ridiculous.
No, it is. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really sad. The state of the world right now. Yeah. And because we're getting to a place where like our technology is getting so much better and so much of the world is improving so drastically.
Yeah, for sure.
And yet there's still this huge resistance to like allow everyone to just profit from this.
No, for sure. And that was always like a lot of the computer scientist dudes I knew before I got into this would always talk about that, how like, you know, there won't need to be all of this work and people won't have to like work as much and all this stuff. But then it's like, yeah, but in that, you know, utopian society you're thinking of, like, you have money still, right? Like, there's still that kind of system. Like, if there's no jobs, like, how are people going to pay for shit? And it's like, it is really cool to see all these technological advancements. That's beautiful. It's amazing. I'm really excited about blockchain and, like, Ethereum and, like, just the idea of, like, decentralized things in general, because I feel like that's kind of, like, the anarchy behind the code. Like, fuck you, Facebook, and your giant servers in the desert. Like, we'll just have our back end everywhere. So I don't know, like, I do think things will get better the more that we go towards blockchain in terms of currency, just because like no one's ever going to profit off us trading money, you know, like say I send money to you, there's no third party profiting off that at all. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of reasons why that's cool. Things are changing for the better. You know, like that in essence could take down the entire banking industry if it succeeds.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff, really.
Yeah.
but like, yeah, I don't know. Like what happens to the majority of people that, I don't know, aren't involved in all this technological change that's putting money in people's pockets? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, like that pilot study of like basic income was going incredibly well. Yeah. And then Ford government was just like, nope. we're just not going to help. We're not going to give these handouts to these people. You know, like they don't know these people. They don't understand like the oppressive systems that we live in.
Oh, of course.
And yeah, it was incredibly premature and stupid to cancel that project.
For sure. No, for sure. Especially if it was succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
No, I talk about that a lot with my friends. Like even like something like $1,000 a month, you know?
Which I think that was about what it was. Yeah.
I know most people could live off with that.
That's what I live off of in like the best of times.
Yeah. No, me too. Pretty close to that. Yeah. Pretty close to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Ford.
Get him out. Like, are there good politicians? Do they exist anymore?
I mean, there was. I think Jack Layton was good, but then he died.
God.
I feel like someone gave him that cancer. He died too quickly. It was too suspicious.
Yeah. You know what? I'm on board for this conspiracy theory. Because, yeah, it was, like, at the height of like, his career. And,
exactly.
Like, you know, when he was well-positioned to make huge changes in Canada. And suddenly dies.
I know.
Suspicious.
I know. Mm-hmm. Mm. So that's suspicious. You can't see our eyes, but we're making suspicious eyes.
Well, how do you feel about doing another song?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do another song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa, new song.
New song.
How's it feel?
feels sad, but I like it. It feels, I know, I like that one because I think I get a little angry in it, and that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really cathartic to do that in songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Plus, I wanted to write something a little more simple. Like, I think what happened in the last album, some of the songs are simple, that's for sure. But I went a little proggy, and so there's all these weird long instrumentals at the end that are really heavy, and I'm just like, let's bring it back down to two parts, you know? So there's just like the verses and the instrumental, and that's it. And that was nice to do something kind of less, I don't know, theatrical or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Less proggy.
Going back to your roots a little bit more.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Lay. Just kidding.
Speaking of, Lay was at Chick Picking last night, which you host, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, last night, Lay's band Pudding Chaumeur did an awesome, awesome performance. And Chick Picking Mondays. I've been the host for just over 4 years now, but the night's been going for 13 years.
So be a patron, support the artists, come out to Chick Picking Mondays.
Yeah, support.
Yeah, if you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, find someone who can and make them do it like double for you.
No, for sure. And that's honestly, that's why I'm so excited about the like tech startup I'm working for. Like, really, it's like it is a user application, but it's the thing that I was building, that I was helping build, is for venue owners. And like, it's a way for venues to kind of showcase what they do to the users. So like, I really, in my head, I'm hoping it's going to help out with this whole us losing a ton of good spaces to play music in problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of a way to find all the things you would like in Montreal, you know, based on like whatever filters you put in and the things you enjoy doing. So anyone that comes to Montreal can be like, I like soft jazz or something like that, you know, and they'll be able to find that. And like, you know, that soft jazz bar probably needs some help. So
absolutely.
We all love soft jazz. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Soft jazz. Yeah, I was like, does upstairs count? I don't think so. I don't think I would say that's soft jazz necessarily.
Upstairs is more like jazz teacher jazz.
Yeah.
It's all the really good profs.
Yeah.
But not the wild ones. I like the young wild jazz guys. Like there's this really amazing Mingus tribute right now.
Okay.
Called Oh My Mingus. And it's so good.
Really great. Oh My Mingus. Where do I check this out? How do I find more?
Oh, I don't even know. I think it's run by Stefan Minold. If you look up Oh My Mingus on Facebook, you're going to find it. And I don't know. I like those young guys. They're so hyper and they're so good. And it's just,
that's what jazz is all about, right? It's all about like being like young and hip and cool.
Jazz cats. Exactly.
Jazz cats.
No, soft jazz for those jazz cats. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
We've gone loopy. Loopy with jazz.
The whole point of jazz, right?
Yeah.
We're just jazzing right now. Jazzing all over the place.
Yeah. Well, isn't that actually like jazzy? Isn't that like to like have a conversation like
yes,
on
it
jazzy?
Is.
Yeah.
So that's everything we just said is completely justified based
it's all
on
jazz.
That alone.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for coming and you know, jazzing at me.
That
was great.
That was a nice little jazz jam right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good luck with all the things. And
thank you, Nikki. Thanks for having me here. This is a really cool project.
Support the Patreon.
Woo!
Unknown Artist is recorded at The Library and hosted on godbird.com. Please check out our Patreon. Spread the news, spread the love.